Well, for those that may be visiting, the Lord has directed me to share some messages on the series of messages are being titled Speak the Word Only. And these messages right now are being entitled Authority by Command. And so you can go and request those messages if you'd like. They're free of charge. Whether you want a CD or DVD, they're available. Or you can just download them off the internet or view them. That's your choice. But if you would, let's turn to John chapter 3. And I'd like us to read together out loud. If you don't have a Bible, look on with your neighbor. And let's read John 3:16 through John 3:18. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now today, if you would, I just had a prompt here. Let's go over to John 13. And let's read verses 34 and 35. It has some significance today. John 13 and verses 34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." What are all men going to know? That we are his disciples. Now, I want you to keep that in your thinking. And one of the scriptures I'd like to read it again today, is Psalm 119, 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words give light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And the Holman Christian Standard says, the revelation of your words. So the entrance is really the entering in, the unfolding or revealing of God's word. So we have to let it in and he reveals. But that revelation brings light. That's what we're talking about. The revelation of God's word by the Holy Ghost brings light. Now, if you would, you're in John 13. I'm going to start in John 14. We've been hooking up with this particular scripture. We're going to expand a little bit this morning. I'm going to read from verses 10 through to 14, and then we're going to jump down to verse 21. But as I've shared before in other lessons, these lessons are not just for information, but they're really for transformation. We really want the word to transform us, not just inform us, but to transform us. And so, John, beginning in John 14 and verse 10, it says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" Now, what does he say next? "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." And let me read from another translation. This is the Message translation. It says, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you aren't mere words." See, They're not just mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. This is what I like. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. He does the work. Each word. And it reminds me that what Jesus was saying here is that I didn't come up with these words. These words came from the Father, and I heard, and as I hear, I obey. And so what we can see is, even in Isaiah 55:11, the word has within it the ability to bring itself to pass. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It, the word, shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." The word has within it the power to come to pass. So that's significant, because Jesus, who was and is the Word, got the Word from the Father and spoke it, but it has the power to come to pass. And we heard the word of the Lord this morning said, "I am the final authority." See, that was a good word this morning. I am. God said, "I am the final authority." So I want you to keep this thought. There is no other trustworthy source of words and thought other than God's word. There is no other trustworthy source of words and thought other than God's words. See, if we're getting words and thoughts from someone else, they may not be trustworthy. Let God be true and every man a liar. See, his word can never fail. See, our words may fail. His words can never fail. His words have the ability to bring to pass his will. And the wonderful thing is, if we hear him and speak his words and speak his thoughts, then we can be assured we'll get the same exact results that Jesus did. Amen. We can get the same results. And so, that's what we need to do. We need to think those thoughts and speak those words, and what we see the Father do, we need to do. It's the same process. See, and this is what we were talking about last Sunday. The process that Jesus had was he heard the Father, and he only spoke what he heard and saw the Father do. And so, as we continue in verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because," what? "I go unto my Father." Now, you can see here the significance here, and then he says, "And whatsoever you shall ask," that word is demand or require, "in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, you can see here, one of the things that we know from Scripture, that it says here in Hebrews 11:6, it says that it is impossible, without faith, it's impossible to please God. "He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Well, we can see that Jesus had to be operating in faith. When he heard what the Father said, that's what he did. And that did what? It said, it shall, and it came to pass. He's the one that did the works. And we can see from also in Jeremiah 1:12, it says that he hastens his word to perform it. His word is going to be performed. It will not fail. And one of the scriptures that we read last week, I'm not going to go back through this again, but Luke 1:37, where the angel Gabriel came and shared some words from heaven to Mary and said, though thou that is highly favored of God. And at the end of that, she wanted to know how could these things be that she didn't know a man. And the angel said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And she went on to say, be it unto me according to thy word, and the Holy Ghost moved. And this is what we were pointing out last week. The process is that as we say yes to the will of the Father, the Holy Ghost moved. And we pointed that out in Genesis 1:1-1:2, where God created the heavens and the earth, and the Holy Ghost was brooding and hovering, waiting for the command. What was the command? Light be. And he moved, and light was. So the same thing happened in Mary's life. The angel Gabriel came, spoke some words from heaven, and he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And she said, what did she say? Be it unto me according to thy words, and the Holy Ghost did and brought to pass. But in verse 37, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And I like some of the modern translations. It says, no word from God will be void of power. No word from God will ever fail. No promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment. It's going to come to pass. God's word is going to come to pass. And that's significant. And I want you to, you know, you say, well, I know all of this, Pastor Ed. What has this got to do with today's lesson? Well, it has a lot to do because God has been speaking some things to us personally, and he's been speaking to us corporately. And what are we saying? No word from God will be impossible of fulfillment. But we've got to say yes. Amen. And when we do, the Holy Ghost will move and do what? Bring it to pass. And so we need to be in a mode of, yes, Lord. And the word that came forth last Sunday night was that RLCC, you are in a call it season. This is a season of calling things. And one of the things I believe that God is having us go back through these points in Scripture is so that when he speaks, that when God speaks, then we say yes, we give the Holy Ghost authority to go and do what God's will is. And he's looking for a people just like Mary, who will say, be it unto me, Lord, yes. All things are possible to them who believe. It's going to take faith in God. And faith in God is faith in what he says, because they're inseparable. And so when he speaks, and he's been speaking some things, we don't say, how could that be? How is that possible? We're going to say, yes, Lord. And he's going to show us how to do it. and he's doing that. And one of the things, let's continue today. Want to pick up another thought with this, where Luke 1:37, and I'll just read these. You can use these as a reference here. Titus 1:2, it says, God that cannot lie. See, God cannot lie. His word is truth, and it can, and he cannot lie. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. So when the word is spoken to us, it has within it not only the authority, but it empowers us to do what that command is. So when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he that believeth shall be saved, he that doesn't shall not be or be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. There's empowerment there. There's authorizing you as a what? A disciple to go and do that. You're getting authorization, but you're also getting the empowerment from that word that was spoken to you. And so you could say, well, I don't know. I don't feel that. I don't know. The word gives you the power to do that. And no word of God shall be void of power. But just like Mary, if you say, how could that be? Then you're not saying yes. You're not giving the Holy Ghost the freedom and the right to come in and empower you to do the work that God has called us to do here. So, we need to say, yes, Lord. We were singing this morning, my will is not my own. I give myself away. So, in giving ourselves away, we're saying yes. So the authority that is given to us comes from the command, and it's impossible of fulfillment. So again, if we want the same results, we're going to have to use the same exact process and method that Jesus did. Same thing. Who did he go to? He went and he said, my words are not my own. We could say that. And you know, it's no different today that when the religious people got upset and said, who do you think you are making yourself equal to God? You know, they do the same thing today. That when we desire to be used of God, when we call ourselves, we didn't even call it, Jesus said, if you love one another, if you keep my commandments, he said, then all men will know that you're my disciples. And he also said, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and you'll be my disciples. He's calling us disciples. And so, the whole idea is that we be like him, that we act like him, and we do what? We talk like him, and we say what the Father says. But you know, religious people get upset. Like, who do you think you are trying to be like Jesus? I thought that was the whole idea. That's what the scripture says. So things haven't changed. And you think, and again, you're going to get that from the world and the church. And they're going to be indignant. Think like, who do you think you are? I'm just being like Jesus. He told me to be this way. And so, let's jump down to verse 21. In John 14, he said, he that hath my commandments, you know, and what does it say? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, you know, the word hath means to possess or regard something. So you're giving it place. But you know, you can give place to something and not do it. And so he said here that you've got to, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. This is the same process here. Same process as verse 10. Then you can see here, Jesus loved his Father, and he did what? He did what he heard. He spoke what he heard. He did what he saw the Father do. And he said here, and did the Father manifest himself? Yeah, he sure did, through him. And this is the same process here. He said, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him or reveal myself to him. If we would just keep his commandments and do them, he said that he would love you, the Father would love you, and he would do what? Manifest himself. So a whole lot of folks are trying to get him manifesting himself, and the key is right here. We need to do what? Believe on his name and do what it said in verses 34 and 35 in John 13. Love one another as he loved. And when we do that, he said he'd love us, the Father would love us, and he would manifest himself to us. He would reveal himself. And so we can see here a strong key for us. Now, one of the things that God has prompted me here this morning, and he kept putting this word in my heart of heir and sonship, that we are heirs of God and sons of God. Heirs, joint heirs, and sonship. And I want us to focus on that because God has said here, through Jesus, in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. So when we hear him and obey, we're going to do the greater works. And in that is the power to bring it to pass, if we believe that. And we should expect that empowerment in our lives. We should expect it. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Sometimes we kind of balk at, you know, or we hesitate at the fact that how could we do the works of Jesus? You know, that was Jesus. But he just authorized us in verse 12. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. He right there is authorized you. He just said, you shall. And you got to get your mind transformed to say, I am doing the works of Jesus and greater works. And the way you start to transform your mind is by agreeing with the Word of God and saying that. Jesus said to me and authorized me to do the same works as He. That means raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, and heal the maimed. That means parts where there were no parts. And He's authorized me to do that and greater. So He's authorized us, which means He's given us the right to do that. Why is that? We're called by His name. The Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed, what? Heir of what? All things, by whom also He made the worlds. Turn over to Galatians now. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Galatians chapter 2, 3, and verse 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Said that Jesus was appointed heir of all things. Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by what? Faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Neither is there Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And verse 29, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and what? Heirs. Who's an heir? Ah. So you're an heir. Uh-huh. Heirs according to the promise. Go over to, you're in Galatians. Go to Galatians 4:7. You're right there. It says, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of who? Of God through Christ. Oh. I'm an heir of God through Christ. And we read in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2 that God appointed Jesus heir of all things. Uh-huh. And I'm an heir of God who appointed Jesus heir of all things. Uh-huh. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that means to be directed by God, the Spirit of God, they are the sons, and some translations say children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. or you could say, Father, Father. The Spirit itself, or some translations would be more accurate in saying himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of who? Heirs of God. And heirs of God. And what? Joint heirs with Christ. If so, that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So if I am, not it, so if, since I am an heir of God, and I am a joint heir with Christ, then that means I'm an heir of all things. All things, not some things. Oh, my goodness. I'm an heir of God. And I'm a joint heir with Christ. Now let's look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 14. Says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. See, it took faith to become a son of God. It took faith in Christ to become an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. It took faith. And faith is what's going to be necessary to not only hear him, but say yes and obey. And that pleases God. And that is, again, those that are led by the Spirit of God are what? The sons of God. You're the children of God. That's what pleases him. So we've become a joint heir. Now, let's jump back. Let's jump back to John. I believe it's John chapter. John chapter 8. Let's go there for a moment. John chapter 8. And let's look at verse 23. My goodness. God is impregnating his word in us. Starting in verse 23. And he said unto them who? These are the religious leaders. You can see back over there, he's speaking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He's still talking to the religious leaders. And he said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That's faith talk. That's faith. Now, look at verse 30. Isn't that an interesting thing that's just inserted there by the Holy Ghost? As he spoke these words, many believed on him. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Oh. Now, out of that whole group that he was speaking, now this is shifted. Now he's speaking to those who believed on him. He says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So now he's speaking something here that if you obey and continue in the word as he continued in the word. He was grace and truth, but the words were not his own words. They were the words from the Father. And he spoke them. And he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know this truth that I know. You shall know this truth that I know, and you shall, and this truth that I know shall make you free like I'm free. You see. And so, what you have here, what would you call a disciple? Well, we can look that up. I mean, there's definitions. It's someone who is a pupil, someone who's a learner, someone who embraces or assists in spreading the teaching of another. I like this here. This is something. Someone who was disciplined to become like. A disciple is someone who was disciplined to become like. Like what? Like him. So when we become, what are we going to have to be? We're going to have to be disciplined to hear what he hears, or hear what he says, and to say it, and to do it. That's being disciplined. And when you are, to do that, you're a disciple. You're continuing in his commandments. And this says here, if you'll continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Then you are a follower. Then you are disciplined to become like what you're hearing. See. And then it says, and you shall know the truth. See, knowing, if you look that up, that word in the Greek means gnosko or gnosko. I'm doing the best I can to pronounce it phonetically. But it means to have intimate knowledge. And they use a reference saying it's like a man and a woman having sexual intercourse. It means to have intimate knowledge of something. So it's not just, I read it, oh, that's nice. Yeah, I know the truth and he'll set me free. No, it means you know. You had intimate knowledge because you heard words from the Father and you continued in them. You had an intimate relationship with God and you obeyed. And it said, and God. And that's why when we heard this morning that word in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of his word, the revealing of God's word will bring light. That's what this is here. And you shall know the truth, and this truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from this world system. Free from sickness and disease. Free from sin. Free from the curse of the law. Because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And you shall know this truth, and the truth shall make you free. See. Let's turn over just one last scripture here to hook up with something to feed on. Matthew 18 and 18. Well, it may not be the last scripture, but I'm trying. I'm working at it here. Matthew 18:18 says, "Verily, verily, or verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth," is he giving us authority? Oh yeah, he sure is. He's authorizing us and says, "Whatever you bind or forbid on earth shall be bound or forbidden in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." He's giving you authority, and he's basically saying, your words have weight and authority in this earth realm. Now, let's go over to Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Just for a moment. Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them," his words, "in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, I've read this on a number of occasions, and I just feel impressed to share this again. His words are impossible of, or not void of power. In other words, they're impossible of not being fulfilled. And our words coming out of our heart, in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it," your heart, "are the issues of life." And I like the Good News translation. It says, "Be careful how you think." This is Proverbs 4:23. "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." Your life is shaped by your thoughts. What thoughts? His thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. If we want to have a supernatural life of overflow, we're going to have to think his thoughts, speak his word, and act what he shows us to act out. The New Century Translation, New Century Version says, "Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life." Your thoughts run your life. And this is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. What comes out of your heart is the source of life's consequences. And of course, we know that from Proverbs. It says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So when we hear and we obey his commandments, he said, I will love them, my Father will love them, and I will manifest myself to them. So when we speak his word out of our heart, we're going to get the same results as Jesus got. And that truth, which he knew, we'll know. And that truth will set us free. Free from the boundaries of life. Free from the world's boundaries. Free from things that say, you can't go there. You can't have that. You can't do that. No, I'm an heir of all things. And I can do all things through Christ. So I'm not bound. I'm not restricted. See? And that's what we need to get buried down here, that when obstacles come, we look to God. What is Mark 11:22? Have faith in God. And so when we have faith in him and we look to him and he gives us strategies and he gives us words to say, speak them. And they shall surely come to pass. See, the world's going to tell you, you can't go there. You can't have that. You can't do that. You don't have enough. You're not educated enough. You can't. You're the wrong pedigree. You're the wrong color. You don't speak English well. Whatever they come up with. But my God, I'm an heir of God. I'm a child of God. And I'm a joint heir with Christ. And I'm an heir of all things. And I can do all things through Christ. And I believe God is looking for a people that will take him at his word. Because when you do, he said, it means that you love him. When you obey his words, you're telling him, I love you, I trust you. And he said, I will love you and I will reveal myself on your behalf. And that which has been withheld from you will not be. See? And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to just take him at his word by faith and do the impossible. Do the things just like when he told the Israelites, go in and take the land. I've given it to you. That's what he's telling us. Same thing. Go in and take the land. It seems in the natural, nutty, doesn't it? I tell you, if you look at it, it's nutty. Not to God. Not to God. God's already given it to us. He's already given us the land, and he's going to show us step by step how to take it, and that's all he's looking for. But he's looking for us to say yes. Now, whether that's personal or not, we need to say yes. And say, God, I'm your heir. And through Christ, I'm a joint heir. And those things that may have hindered you, you're redeemed from. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. And that's what we were sharing in that scripture last week. In Colossians, it said, he, the devil, was made an open show. Christ triumphing over them in him, in the cross. So he's been stripped of all of his authority here in the earth. And what he does have is because people are giving it to him. But we are waking up to the word of God that we are redeemed and we've been translated out of darkness, out from under his dominion and control. We are named by the name of Jesus. And so he has no right on this property. He has no right here. He has no right here. He's defeated. Let's say that as we close. I'm an heir of God, and I'm a joint heir with Christ, and I'm an heir of all things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let that and meditate upon it. One way to meditate on it is to continually say it. Think on it. Meditate on it. We get up and you walk through the day, say, I'm an heir of God. I'm redeemed of God. And God is directing me. And because I'm led by His Spirit, I'm a child of God. And I hear His voice, and I say yes. And begin to say that and get that down here. And if you're not sure it's Him speaking, begin to say, Lord, give me a hearing ear. Help me to know it's You. I'm telling you, the spirit of faith and the spirit of victory is rising here. Let's say this again. We can do all things through Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Amen.